A group of little boys out on a farm road came across an old tree trunk. And they saw out of that tree trunk some bees coming out of it. And the boy said, mischievous as some boys are, and I'm going to say all, they started rearing back and they said, I wonder how many bees come out if we throw rocks at it. So they went back a ways and they started throwing rocks. And the more they throw rocks, more bees come out. And they laughed and giggled and because they were far, they thought they were far away. They didn't see them. So they kept on their road back home. And before you know it, one got stung in the face. And then another. And before you know it, those three little boys were full of bees. And they ran to a nearby pond, tried to get away from them, but only to come out, get stung in the head. So finally, there was a car passing by, and the three little boys ran out of the pond and ran into the car safely. Well, the boys learned a valuable lesson that day. They did not come across some dumb bees. They came across against a well-organized, disciplined, tenacious when angered insect. An insect that has been in existence approximately 150 million years, according to scientists. An organized, orderly, regimented insect, ruthless and unrelenting toward its enemies, such as the black bear. An insect that is a component of a hive. Its home that it's willing to protect till death, no matter the size of the opponent. Most of us that we've gotten stung, we often wonder why a little bee would try to attack us. There's the reason. A hive is alive. A hive is a living organism composed of bees. The title of my split sermon today is Doing Things in Order. Bees are vital for human existence, yet, according to experts, its numbers are decreasing rapidly. This year, when I went to Argentina, I met two brethren over there, and they were former beekeepers. And they both said the same thing. They were totally decimated due to pesticides and man interference. And one of them had been doing it for 30 plus years. Leo Tolstoy said, one can no more approach people without love than one can approach bees without care. Such is the quality of bees. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 21. Because we see that bees are a gift from God. Genesis 1, verse 21. Say, see, here. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds. We've heard that before, the kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. You're going to see how this verse ties into with a sermon later on. God created bees so they are good. So what is the impact of bees if bees are no longer exist? We may lose all the plants that bees pollinate, all of the animals that eat those plants, and so on up the food chain. Which means a world without bees could struggle to sustain the global population of approximately 7 billion people. Our supermarkets would be half the amount of fruits and vegetables than they are now. This is according to the BBC of 2014. So we have established that bees help many plants reproduce and food for man. Let's go to Psalms. What did King David say? Psalms 104, verse 14. It says, you cause the grass to grow, this is talking to the Lord, for the livestock and plant for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. Now, if he can bring food from the earth, that means he would need assistance in doing so. So God had it planned all along. Bees produce honey as a food and it's considered a food, not just a sugar, that has no expiration dates. We all may all know that they've uncovered some tombs in Egypt, that they found some jars, and they found out after some testing that it was honey. That way they packed it with the pharaohs. So, and it was still good. Honey in the Bible was a symbol of good health. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24 through 27. And let's see what... This is Saul was having everyone fast before he fought the Philistines. So he made them get their word for not eating. And it starts here on 24. It says, "Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies.' So none of the troops tasted food. The entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. When they went into the woods, they saw the honey oozing out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth, because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with an oath. So he reached out to the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped into it, the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened." That gives significance that the honey that he ate gave him energy. Most people don't realize, though, there were no honeybees in the United States before the white settlers came. Native pollinators, and in particular bees and butterflies, pollinated most of your fruits and vegetables back then. They're the ones that took care of all that. But that we can say in agreement, but back then we didn't have 329 million people like we do today in America. When America was discovered, the only crops we had was corn, beans, and squash. And this corn is, as many of you may know, is pollinated by the wind, and the rest can be pollinated by butterflies. So what makes the honeybee different than others, they produce a food source for man. Bees are initially easy to manage. They were initially easy to manage. Let's go to Proverbs 24:13. The European honeybee is more easily managed because they're more docile and they're larger. They can carry more pollen and nectar than the regular wild honeybees. 24:13. This is King Solomon's. It says, "My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste." Here we have an example of honey and how it is good for us. But we ask yourself, man, is this there one type of bee? Well, there's different species of bee. There's over 20,000 different species of bees. And in each colony, there's three types of bees. There's the queen bee, the drone bee, and the worker bee. We're going to break down their responsibilities. The queen bee lasts from anywhere from 1 year to 5 years old. It depends on its ability to produce offspring. They die when they are no longer able to lay fertile eggs. Next is the drone bee. It's the male of the species. The drone's primary role is to mate with unfertilized queen. Drones have no stingers, and it takes approximately 12 drones to fertilize one queen. And they live 3 to 4 months, and by autumn, there is no drones in the hive. Now, that doesn't mean that they die. It's the worker bees take them out. And I've witnessed where the worker bees just take the drones right out the hive, and the little wolf spiders are just there waiting for them because they can't fly very long. And last but not least is the worker bee. And I want to show you something on the worker bees. After 2 days after they're born, or after they hatch out of their little cell, They immediately start cleaning other cells so the queen can lay eggs there. And they also warm the brood. The brood is the baby. And 3 to 5 days old, their job starts feeding the brood. And in other words, starts feeding the baby larvae. And then from 6 to 11 days, their responsibility is to feed the youngest of the larvae, which is more responsibility. 12 to 17 is to make the wax. And 18 to 21 is they perform guard duty. And 22 to 45, or till they drop dead, is they collect nectar and pollen and bring it to the hive. Let's go to Proverbs 6, to verses 6 to 11. I just showed you an example of the responsibilities of bees and each one, how they are. Now let's go to Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Ants are eusocial insects of the family of the kind Formicidae, and along with the relative related wasps and bees, belong to the order of Hymenoptera. I practiced that too. Hymenoptera. I'll see. I'm not an entomologist. The bee, especially the honeybee, works feverishly in the spring. They've taken pictures of honeybees during the spring. You would think they would be happy to get all that nectar, but really, they really work hard until they've seen. Taking photographs of bees when they're in the middle of, and their wings are all tattered and torn, and some of them are missing limbs, but they work until their aim is to fill honey or nectar in the to the colony. A resemblance, nonetheless, to ants. In order to make honeycomb cells, did you know that? Well, the researchers found that bees, when they're making the wax, they first form a circle. When they're first in their 17 days, so their duty is to make the circle. So they make the circle, but their researchers can't figure out, with the heat of their body, they melt the wax just enough with their wings, they cut a notch, and they make it a perfect hexagon. And researchers have measured, so, and it's perfect every time. And you ask, why a hexagon? Well, because hexagons don't make voids. In other words, you can put as many hexagons together and they'll fill in all the voids. You know, if you put octagons, you'll have a space, and so is circles. But hexagon won't. That's another miracle. Even Charles Darwin said the honeycomb is absolutely perfect in economizing labor and wax. So we can learn from the bee, being efficient in what we do, non-wasteful, neat, orderly, and unchaotic. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 14:40. 2 Corinthians 14:40. This I had in a little framed up at my office for almost 30 years. This little saying, and it says here in verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order, which is, it's a pretty trying, it's easy to say, but it's sometimes it's a trial just to do it. And this little, Paul was talking to believers, brethren. He wasn't talking just to anybody. This is for us, the Christians, the ambassadors. We can ask ourselves, are we orderly? Is our car orderly? Is our house clean? Is it orderly? And those of us who work indoors, is our workspace orderly? And for those of us that we do work on the outside, is our job orderly? I remember we had an LOD electrician who helped me run some conduit. And man, he put a plumb to, a level to each, everything that he put. And he made sure that all his 90s were 90s and all his electrical conduit that he was running was that. So that's an example of orderly. Remember, we represent Christ. People should look at what we do, what we say, and how we act, dress, or our homes. What we demonstrate. How we carry ourselves. That's what sets us apart, brethren. That's how we are separate. That's how we come out. I want to put some B facts to you. Just for your example, for your information. It takes a worker bee. A worker bee only produces 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its lifespan. 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. It takes 250 bees to fill up a cell. Fill it up with honey. 1 teaspoon of honey takes 5,000 flowers in order to make it happen. A typical colony will visit 225,000 flowers per day. Bees visit 2 million flowers to make a pound of honey. Honey is the only food source produced by insects that humans eat. Honey is nectar from plants or secretions from other insects by regurgitation, enzyme activity, and water evaporation. And here's another side note. Heating honey destroys the enzymes and vitamins and minerals. You get the sugar, but not so much the enzymes and the other properties. We can learn a lot from the bees. We can learn to be diligent workers, clean, fierce protectors of our homes, also provide food for others. In other words, be a giver. Honey is a food source, not only a sweetener, a good source of antioxidants. Raw honey contains an array of plant chemicals that act as antioxidants. And here's some of them. It's an antibacterial and antifungal properties. It heals wounds. I had people who bought my honey that has a skin condition, and they say they buy the whole honeycomb with honey and everything, and they apply it. It has what they call phytonutrients. And I'll explain that later. It says it helps for digestive issues. It soothes the sore throat. And the reason why it soothes the sore throat is because it has antibodies from the plants. We ask you, so what are phytonutrients, Mark? Well, they are antioxidant and anti-inflammatory activities. Phytonutrients may also enhance immunity, intercellular communication. It repairs DNA damage from exposure to toxins. It detoxifies carcinogens and alters estrogen metabolism. Phytochemicals are chemical compounds produced by plants, generally to help them thrive or thwart competitors. Predators are pathogens. Some phytochemicals have been used as a poison and others as traditional medicine. So it takes a lot for the little bees, what they do to us. But yet, they're not too many people pay attention to them. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Do you know how that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own body. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So God's given us something to energize and to fix and to heal our bodies, even at the cellular level. Yet even with all these, bees are not highly regarded. They are they are at the lower end of the spectrum of man's world. However, if bees were to go extinct or precariously reduce in population, crop production as we know it would be devastated. There would be a serious food shortage. Revelation 6, verses 5 through 6. The questions have been asked, can people with diabetes eat honey? And the answer is no. And the reason mainly is because a large percent of your store-bought honey is filled with artificial sweeteners. So it's not really 100% honey. And that's a known fact. But it's very hard to detect. Let's go to verse 5. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. That's funny because all those plants, bees, pollinate. Because of the mistreatment of the earth, man will suffer the consequence of his actions. As for us, we are to continue to walk in Jesus' footsteps, keeping our bodies and homes in order. But how do we do that? Well, the bee is a good example, isn't it? The bee keeps its house in order, as God is as an example. When it comes to God, all things are set in their proper order. The sun rules over the day, and the moon rules over the night. God the Father is the head. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman, and both are head of the children. Jesus Christ is the high priest and full authority over the churches, which includes his ministers. Which are ministers and elders are the heads of the local churches. All members are subject to the ministers and the local church. To become a Christian, there is also proper order. God calls us, we must hear the word before we can believe it. Like it is mentioned in Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. Verse 2, instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Yes, we must repent of our sins before we can be baptized. We must be baptized before we can follow faithfully. We must live faithfully until death in all things. Under God's law, all things are to be done decently and in order. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.